Lord, we give you thanks that you have gathered us here to this place, that we can come to be in fellowship with you and with each other. And as we begin this journey towards Christmas, may we realize the hope that you promise. And while we're keenly aware of oftentimes what feels like the hopelessness around us, as we enter into this Advent season, help us to know and sense the hope that you give. Lord, we pray that you would help us as a church and as individuals to shine the light of your hope into oftentimes what seems like a dark world. We pray especially for those of us here this morning who are feeling hopeless. And that in this season of Christmas that we would be reminded that you walk beside us. Even in the midst of our fear or our doubt, the shame or the guilt, that you are present. And that in you and through you, there is always hope. We pray for those this morning who are experiencing a sense of loss. And we're thankful that you're present even in the midst of that. Lord, we give you thanks that you hear our prayers, the ones that we share together and the ones that we hold in silence in our hearts. And we give you thanks for your Son, this gift of hope and peace and joy and love that you have so graciously given to us. And as we celebrate in this Christmas season, and we also give you thanks for this prayer that he gave us that we can share together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to continue in our time of worship. The choir is going to come up and help lead us in that. And the ushers are going to come and afford us the opportunity to worship through the giving of tithes and offerings. And if you consider Gateway Community Church your home church, we are in the midst of our 2016 stewardship season as we look at what the next year brings for us. And if you have not turned in your commitment cards yet, would you continue to be thinking and praying about filling one of these cards out? You can drop it in the offering basket. You can mail it to the church. And the importance of that, I don't want to make it a thing to where it is a we miss that this is a tool for us to be involved in ministry in our community. And this number that we're able to kind of total once we get all these cards in, help us to kind of project what ministry is going to look like for us in 2016. And so if you haven't yet, would you continue to be thinking and praying about filling out one of these cards, dropping it in the offering basket, mail it to the church? And you're not going to hear, you might hear me say one more thing about this maybe next Sunday, maybe not. And then we're going to just know and trust that God is faithful and he's working and moving in your lives as individuals and as families and in us and through us as a church. And we're excited to see what he's going to do in 2016. So hear these words as we pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have given us. And it's out of and in this season of thanks that we recognize that you give us all things. And so help us to be people who are generous, not just with our our checkbook, but also with our calendars and our gifts that you have given us, and so that we might use them for you. And so we pray for those who might receive, that they would be blessed, as well as bless those who give, we pray. Amen.
We three kings from the Orient are waiting here for the heavenly star. Noel singing, carols ringing, waiting for Emmanuel. Sing we Noel, Noel.
Thanks, choir. Thanks, band. It's fun to be enjoying and singing some Christmas songs in church, so appreciate that. We start a new sermon series this morning entitled Unpresence, and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be, as we lead up into Christmas, we're going to be looking at the unexpected, the unwanted, the unopened, and the unbelievable as we spend some time moving towards Christmas and Christmas Eve. 4:30, we have a Christmas Eve service for kids, families. 5:30, we're going to be doing a community meal, and I appreciate a number of you have reached out and said you think that's a really great idea, and so we kind of do too. We don't know exactly how it's going to go, but we're excited just to be sharing that together. And so 4:30 kids service, 5:30 community meal, and then 7:30 is going to be our candlelight and communion service. And one of the other things, too, that I decided to do through Advent is we're going to be celebrating communion each Sunday of Advent as we lead up to Christmas Eve. And so I'm going to invite you to be thinking through that sacrament and thinking about it as we kind of travel towards Christmas. So I'm going to pray, and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks because we know that you are present with us, and so we pray that you would help us to continue to be present with you in our time together. We pray that even if just for a moment, and in the, sometimes we confess that we might get lost in the hustle and bustle of the season, that even if just for a moment right now, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice. And so open our hearts and our minds to those things that you would have for us. May your spirit be our filter so that we could hear those things and everything else we can ignore and just set off to the side. And Lord, we pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning, and that the words that I speak would not be my own but yours. Amen. So unexpected, unwanted, unopened, and unbelievable over the next couple of weeks. So I want you to think about for a second if you have ever received a gift that was truly unexpected. Have you ever received a gift that was truly unexpected? You really had no idea that it was going to show up or that it was going to be given. Now, sometimes the unexpected is a surprise, right? Sometimes the gift is given and you're like, oh, wow, you really didn't have to do that. And it really caught you by surprise and unexpected. There are other times when the unexpected can be a disappointment. Now, I don't know about your family or how your family does gifts, and it's been interesting over the years how we've kind of gone back and forth and changed different ways how we do it. I'm the oldest of four siblings, and this year are we going to get gifts for each other as siblings? Are we not? And we always talk about that. You draw names, you don't. Whatever your family does, right? But one of the things that we do is it's not uncommon to use boxes of random things to put the presents in, right? So you save your boxes. Maybe some of you are like that, where you save some boxes throughout the year, and you're like, ooh, that's going to be a good size for a Christmas gift. And so you open it, and you're like, oh, I got a blender. And then inside of it, is a new camera or whatever it is, right? So it's not uncommon in our family to open a gift, and it's a box of something, but then it's not actually what the gift is, right, inside. The classic example of this that we still talk about and laugh, and I don't know how long ago it was, but it was, I feel like it was kind of back in the day when my dad liked to go bowling. And we were at my grandma's house, and everybody was getting gifts for, like, each other. All the aunts and uncles were, exchanging, did the name draw thing, and they kind of whatever. And the classic still to this day is that my dad opened his gift from, I don't know who it was, maybe it was from my grandma and grandpa or uncle or something, opened it, and it was a bowling shoes box, right? And he was like, he got really kind of excited. And so we still tease him about this. And he was like, bowling shoes. And he opened it, and it was like, and he goes, oh, I got these. And it was, like a couple pairs of socks or something like that. Just the classic where sometimes the unexpected can be even a disappointment. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And of course, you'll see the words on the screen. And we're going to be in a couple of different places this morning in Scripture. So Isaiah chapter 9, and then keep your finger there in Isaiah, and eventually we're going to also turn to and look at Philippians. So Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, in the context of hearing this passage, and as we read through Scripture, this was completely and totally expected, that there would be a king who would be a boy, a son, a king, and who would rule over the throne of David. Completely, utterly expected. Nothing really that was that surprising, and all of the expectations of the people, even as we read this prophecy from Isaiah, and then number of years later, as we travel to the manger, as we begin our journey this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, that what was being foretold was completely and totally expected. And because of that, the expectations and sort of the excitement of what that was to be, They were pretty high. There was a lot of anticipation for this expected king. But sometimes the gifts that are unexpected aren't always what we think they're going to be. So now turn over to, go a little bit to your right, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Or if you're taking notes, Isaiah 53, verse 5. And before we get to verse 5, I'm going to even highlight a couple of verses from, like verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took up our pain, verse 4, and bore our suffering, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now turn over in your Bibles to Philippians. So you're going to go a little ways to the right in your New Testament. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2. So when you kind of get into Galatians and Ephesians, go a little bit further. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8. Who, being in very nature God, who is Jesus? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is completely unexpected. It would have been no surprise for a king to roll on the scene and be like, I'm the king, Israel, here we go, let's do this, and here I am. Line of David, I'm going to rule on David's throne, and now let's go. Completely expected. The unexpected, when we read verse 5 of Isaiah 53, when it talks about that he was crushed for our transgressions and our iniquities. Verse 2, or chapter 2 of Philippians, who being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather took on the very nature and form of us as a servant. Completely mind-blowing, unexpected. To the point where the people were so frustrated by this thing that was unexpected, what they thought it was going to be and how they thought it was going to go down, and then it was this little baby boy born in this manger into utter poverty. How is this going to be a king? How is this going to be the one who rules over the government with justice and peace? How is this going to, this little thing, how is this going to bring our nation and our people to a place of prominence? Wait, you're telling me that he was going to be nailed to a cross? Which was the very symbol of guilt and shame? That's our king? No. All of these things were completely unexpected for a king to be crushed, to be punished because of us, to become a servant, to die on a cross. There's nothing that they would have ever expected. This is not the way the story was supposed to go. And I wonder if this Christmas, in this Christmas season, in the season of Advent, the whole idea of Advent, right, is to create this sense of we're waiting. There's anticipation that something better is coming. And I wonder how many of us this morning are waiting for the something better. Things have been going unexpectedly. They're not going like we expected or like we planned, and we find ourselves sitting here even this morning going, wait, what? This wasn't how it was supposed to go, or this wasn't how we had this planned out. And I wonder if as we travel towards Christmas, that God might show up in the unexpected. Maybe you and I need to take a step back and adjust some of our expectations. Maybe you're moving into Christmas season and you have no expectations. Maybe your expectations are slightly on the unrealistic side. I'm expecting you to get a new car for Christmas. Is that realistic? Maybe. I'm expecting to get a new house for Christmas. Is that realistic? Maybe. I'm expecting a new job or new health or new relationships. Could those things be realistic? Yes, sure. I wonder if as we journey towards Christmas together and as we light this first candle of hope, if there's not some of us here this morning who need to adjust our expectations in looking to find hope in and through Christ. If you're not, I wonder if it's realistic for us to expect Jesus to show up if we're not really looking for him. Is it realistic to expect that my relationship with God is going to grow and is going to become deeper, even in this wonderful time of year where that may be a very good thing for you and for me? Is it realistic to think that our relationship with God is going to grow stronger and deeper if we're not even expecting God to show up? Maybe. God certainly shows up even when we don't expect it or anticipate it or ask him to. But I wonder how much more that as we are in this season of Advent, this anticipation, what if we were to anticipate or expect that God might show up in your life and mine? What better time throughout the year than at Christmas time? When we talk through and live through the story of this expected thing who became this unexpected thing. And then we went, wait, what? This isn't where I want to be. This isn't who I thought I was going to be. This isn't how I thought it was going to play out. And man, do I need some hope right now. And you can see all the other things that are coming, right, that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk, surprise, spoiler, like peace, joy, love. Those are the things, guys. That's where we're going. That's what these things are all about. And so in this Christmas season, I wonder if we might, what if we expected hope to show up in our lives? Some of us have rolled into church this morning with zero expectations. You rolled in, you were like, I'm going to expect some, maybe some Christmassy songs. I'm going to expect some coffee that's hopefully decent. And then I'm going to kind of move on my way. This guy's going to talk about some stuff, probably mention Jesus, and then we're going to go. I mean, if that's the level of expectation that we have, it doesn't seem unreasonable to think that that's all we're going to get. But if we're hoping for Jesus to show up in our lives this Christmas, then perhaps we need to adjust our expectations. God uses and shows up in the unexpected without question, and you can read that all throughout Scripture. But God also faithfully shows up when he's expected. When he tells us to seek and look and knock. What if the season of Christmas for you and for me was a season of looking and seeking and knocking for Jesus? What unexpectations that do you have that need to change in this season? What are some things that you need to expect to happen this Christmas? Maybe it'll happen in you. Maybe it'll happen through you. Maybe it'll happen in your family. Maybe it'll happen in your workplace. But what would it look like for you and for me if we expected the King of Hope to show up in our lives? And so I'm going to invite you as we move into this time of communion to be thinking about and to be praying about, okay, God, what kind of expectations do I need to adjust or to maybe even have? I have to confess, I have zero expectations of you for Christmas. As we start and begin this Advent season and move towards Christmas, God, you're not even on my radar. And perhaps that's where we, for some of us, maybe that's just where we need to start. And so in this time of some quiet, I would invite you to just to be in an attitude of prayer and reflection about what are you expecting to happen this Christmas? you and I have the opportunity right now to not have it be the same old thing every year. But we have to start now. We have to start today changing the expectations of what it might look like or what it might be or what it might become. And so I'm going to invite you to spend some time in reflection and prayer as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning. Lord, I can't help but think about, as we hear the children's voices all around us and the expectation that some of them have as we lead up towards Christmas. I ask that you might create in us, through your Spirit, that kind of sense of expectation. Expectation that you are going to show up. Expectation that you are faithful. And we confess, even in our moments of unfaithfulness, that you remain faithful. Lord, that we would expect your promise of hope when right now we might feel utterly hopeless. May the flame of this candle remind us of the spark of hope that you give us. And as we come to celebrate this meal this morning, we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup. For the hope that they are, that we can find in and through you. We're thankful for the night which you were there with your disciples and you took bread and you gave thanks and you broke it and you said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it and remember the hope." And in a similar way, you took a cup and again you gave thanks and you said, "This cup is the cup of my blood of a new covenant which washes away your sins, which can wash away your hopelessness and be for you and for me a cup of hope. Take and drink and remember." Lord, for this bread and this cup, we give you thanks and we pray that they might become for us a means of your grace so that in that and through that, that we might know your hope and that we might also be your hope to the world. We celebrate communion here at Gateway by intinction, which means you're going to be ushered to the front. You'll take rip a small piece of the bread off and you'll dip it in the cup. I invite you to spend some time in prayer and reflection there in your seat. It's also an open table of communion, which means that you don't have to be a member here at Gateway. You don't have to be a United Methodist. That you simply have to be open to the fact that it is by God's grace that you and I are invited to come to this table. and that because of God's grace, your invitation is always open.